Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Sense8, Season 2, Episode 2, Who Am I? Is that a toilet noise I hear?
That's an airplane.
Oh, it's an airplane. Okay. So I was like, what is that? Oh no, the helicopter that Whisper sent after Will. It's coming after us now. Anyway, sorry.
Sure.
Let's moving on. Moving on.
So the first episode was the Christmas episode, which we covered a few months ago now, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
I think I must have labeled it as a special episode or something, but it is It is just the first episode that they released at a weird time.
Yep, and so this is episode 2, and I don't know. What did you think about this episode?
There were a lot of, like, moments that kind of fell flat for me, but I liked the lighting a lot. that's kind of my bare bones overall feelings. It was okay. I liked the ending a lot. I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, I found the interview scene, I don't know, it was really, really awkward, and I didn't really, like, I was like, I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't get it. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so with the interview scene, Leto is, like, out, and he brings Hernando with him, and that's really awkward for, like, because the reporter is just, like, making everything awful. And then, we get this, like, weird reporter with Caffius.
Right.
But that was such a weird, and, like, okay, I guess it's supposed to be some weird introduction of, like, maybe a love interest or something, but I don't know. It was just kind of weird. I didn't really, even when I was watching the interview scene, I was like, I don't understand what they're saying about, like, oh, we're all the same, like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. It didn't really have a concise message. It was more like, ooh, this could be a cool moment when we connect Caffius and Leto. Let's make it happen.
It didn't feel connected, you know?
Well, no, but I mean, they were intercut with each other, so, like, no. It was literally connected.
No, I get that. It wasn't working for me.
No, okay. So, I completely agree. I was kind of let down by this episode, honestly.
I mean,
like, what?
Sorry, I wrote my notes down on a big piece of paper because I lost my notebook, but...
Sadness.
No, I found it again right before we started recording.
Victory!
Let's see. So, I mean, the lighting... I think the first scene we get is Will waking up in not Iceland, but Amsterdam. And I love the lighting in that scene. I loved how, like... There was, like, some bluish lighting and some yellow lighting, and it was just, like, really nice. But then we cut to the interview, and, like, that was just, again, it just felt disjointed and didn't really cohere. And I was just like, I'm not feeling this interview. Please make it stop. Because they're trying to, like, fit everyone's stories together somehow, but it wasn't working, you know?
Sometimes, like, they're really good at it.
And sometimes it just falls flat.
Sometimes, yeah, it just completely falls flat. And this, I agree. I didn't really feel like there was much of a connection between the two scenes, except that they were literally just both getting interviewed.
Right, and that was the only connection, but it just didn't... I was like, okay, so, like, an annoying female reporter is interviewing you. That's the only connection.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it didn't really work for me. And honestly, a lot of the episode was like, it wasn't awful, it wasn't what I was hoping for either.
Yeah, I just didn't like with the interview, like, it's like they're like they like the both interviews ended on like a positive inspirational note, and I didn't get that. I was like, what's so inspirational about, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense to me.
I don't know. So when I came into this episode, what I was really wondering was, would I be able to tell whether the Christmas episode had been intended to be released in sequence with the rest of the episodes?
Okay.
That was my big curiosity, because I wasn't sure. And I can tell you with, you know, relative certainty that, yes, Yes, that episode was intended to be released with the others, and it was not just a Christmas episode they released that was meant to be released separately, in my opinion.
Right. Did you watch it back-to-back with episode...
I didn't, but I do remember the Christmas episode, and, like, it had a very joyous feel, and it had a really... It was really good, and it moved things forward, and it felt like episode 2 was very much an answer to that.
Mm.
Like, a lot of the things were, like, direct responses to what happened in the first episode, and right. there wasn't enough of, like, a reminder of what happened that I feel like it was meant to be watched in sequence.
And also the fact that they numbered this one episode 2, I think.
Yeah.
Is an indicator of that, sure. I wrote down little voice line awkward, and I don't know what that's referring to, even though I just watched the episode.
Well, that is usually not a good sign.
I think maybe it was something to do with...
There were a lot of awkward lines of dialogue for me. They just...
Yeah.
They didn't hit right.
Yeah. And it wasn't the actor's fault or anything. It was definitely the writer.
No, I really like the actors. I feel like I've grown... I gotta be honest, I'm even coming around to the new Caffeus.
No, I think he does a good job.
I mean, it's hard. Like, I can't even imagine trying to step in for someone, you know? But... He has the brightness to pull it off, I think.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, right. It's undeniably a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what I'm getting from him. So I'm more on board than I was during the Christmas episode, at least.
Yeah. In terms of visual stuff, I mentioned the lighting in the first scene with Will. I really liked when all the passengers on the bus are, like, watching, like, the Van Damme movie, I'm assuming. And they're all kind of swaying. That was such a good cut. I loved it. And I also really liked the lighting in that German club scene. Like, all the reds and the blues. Like, it was just very pretty. Another cinematic thing. I know I'm kind of, like, just kind of going chronologically, but, like...
No, that's fine. Go for it.
When Will is, like, dreaming and seeing, like, bits of, I guess, Whisper's life. And he sees, like, the horses, like, the horse hooves and the horse, like, that. Those are some really nice shots as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, art. And then, like, just, like, also seeing Amsterdam was really nice, too.
Yeah.
Like, seeing Riley meet her dad. Like, the buildings in the background, the water, just, like, the whole set. It's not a set. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
But they still have to dress it. But, like, just seeing that setting was just... It was just gorgeous. Yeah. So, did you feel like you were struck by any particular visual or audio things going on?
Honestly, no. I mean, if I've noticed something... like, audio-related, it's the music. That's literally the only thing I will notice.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I should not notice it. That should be the creator's goals. If I notice it, something is probably wrong.
Well, that's like good editing, right? Good editing is invisible. You can't tell it's there. Yeah.
And, like, you know, as someone who just doesn't notice that type of stuff, Nope, did not notice anything. there weren't any shots that I made a note of, so that probably doesn't bode well. I mean, you know, not every episode has to be artsy and beautiful, but...
Sure.
You know, it was... The episode felt very Sense8-ish. It just wasn't hitting for me.
Yeah. Again, I felt like it was much stronger towards the end than the beginning.
But we can get into that. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Who do you want to start talking about first?
Do you want to start with Will?
I kind of wanted to end with him because he conclude the episode.
Then Leto, then.
Sure, Leto. So we have... Oh, yeah, that apartment was also really interesting, too, because it was so pink. Were they in Danielle's apartment or something? No, right? We had the whole storyline, like, before that she married that guy, was living with him, and then they rescued her or whatever.
Right, yeah, she was rescued, but I don't know where they are currently, because it doesn't look like Leto's old apartment. Weren't they kicked out?
Yeah. And then, and the pinkness didn't read to me as, like Hernando's place either. But I guess, it's just really vague, because we don't really know where they're at either. I mean, I think we're supposed to assume that they're all living together, and maybe that pink is just, like, Daniela's touch, because I don't think the guy is decorated with a lot of pink.
I can't say.
I don't remember that at all.
I guess Leto's apartment was pretty, like, dark. The colors of the walls. Yeah, like, it was, like, light in the fact that it was very... There's a lot of natural light, but the color scheme was pretty dark.
But, yeah, so they were in the apartment, and then, like, they're trying to convince Hernando, like, hey, we should, you know, go to the premiere together in person, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just all, like, the reality starts crashing down. Like, Leto's been, like, his face has been, like, basically shrunk down and moved to the back of the poster. Yep. And his glorious fight scene gets cut. And the reporter is really, like, obnoxious and awful. Things that we wouldn't, like, anticipate. I was scared that there was going to be some kind of weird thing, like, I don't know, like an old fan throwing, like, I don't know.
Eggs
or something. But, you know, he got that balloon from the fan, and that was, like, nice. But
yeah, I was surprised that that was kind of a sweet thing. The thing that I don't really get, though, is, like, Leto should have anticipated, like, this woman's questions. Like, and he did not have anything on, like, to say.
Yeah, I was like, come on, dude. Surely you... I mean, his whole first season arc, right, was him being worried about the repercussions of being outed. And then it's like, you really think you're gonna... if you've been so worried about, like, how this is gonna be perceived, you would have some kind of... you would have something to really talk about.
Because, like, the interviewer asks, like, if the photos are legit and if he's, like, a homosexual and whatever, but he just kind of dodges. And I get that he doesn't want to, like, share his intimate life with fans. I get that. But you can't be surprised that she's asking these questions.
Yeah.
That's what interviewers do.
What is the timeline of all of this, too? Because...
I really couldn't say.
Because, I mean, it's like Will's been hanging out... Not hanging out. Will's been, like, Will and Riley...
chilling.
They've not been chilling. They've been, like, on the lam or whatever for, like,
some
months
amount of
now.
Time.
Because you see months, right? And then so I it's guess. Like, well... The timeline for all these things is so confusing to me.
But, I mean, like, the Christmas episode took place over many, many months as well. So it's hard to... I really couldn't say. They don't really go into it. And we don't really see seasons that much. We saw, like, the Christmas episode, but...
Yeah. That's why... And it's weird, too, because, you know, I'm jumping back into this show, and it's been such a while. So I'm like, I really feel displaced time-wise.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, how long has Leto been hiding? How long have the pictures been out there, I guess, is why I'm confused about the timeline of things.
That's why it really, really feels like the Christmas episode 1, was supposed to be released with the others.
Yeah.
Because episode 1 did a really good job at grounding the time.
Right, right.
But then episode 2 is like, let's get into the, you know, the deep side of things, and for us it's been months, but you know.
It looks like spring though, doesn't it? Because they go to visit Sarah Petrel's mother, and it's not winter anymore.
That's true, but yeah, that's true. Because I was thinking that they were in California, but they're not.
But they go to Chicago, which is
Chicago,
which is definitely gets snow and stuff. So,
but they never like say it either. They never say how long it's been.
That's why I'm so confused, because, like, how long have the pictures been out? And then, like, if they've been out for a while, like, there's no excuse for him to not know what to say if they've been out for a while, you know? Or if he's been hiding for a while. And just something about it is just off to me.
I guess what really bothered me about that side of the interview scene was, like, he's been, you know, the Christmas episode, and he's, you know, he's had to come to terms with the fact that he's essentially been outed. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, like, not confess, but he just has a just wishy-washy, like...
Yeah, if he was, like, straight up, like, I know it's a process, but if he was, like, yes, I'm gay, or whoever he, you know, identifies yeah. as, and was, like... I mean, it's just so... I don't know. I feel like it's just so facetious for the report to be like, oh, you've been keeping a secret from your fans. Like, well, duh, because it's going to ruin his career. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, what is this line of questioning? But, whatever. I mean, I found it also confusing that they were just interviewing... Again, the timeline is messing with me because, like, why is this woman interviewing Caffeus, like, presumably months after he's built up his following, you know? I mean, I guess that could kind of make sense, but
yeah,
it's just so random. Like, if someone had interviewed him right after, like, I don't know, the fight or something.
Or, like, maybe. Just after he'd gotten that big new van.
Right. Or even just, like a week or two after. I don't know. I guess these things take time for, like, news. It takes time for news to spread or whatever, but it was just so strange. I was like, why is someone interviewing Caffeus of all people? This makes no sense.
Yeah, that was... It was a little weird. It's just an excuse to introduce a new character,
yeah,
honestly.
I mean, I guess that Caffeus hasn't had any... Like, we talked about this before. Like, he hasn't had any, like, romantic... or, like, any love interest characters. But, like, does he really need one? I mean, I guess it'd be nice, but...
I mean, I'm not complaining that he's getting a love yeah. interest. I'm just kind of wishing that she'd been introduced in a way that wasn't quite so icky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the, like, all that random line of questioning, like, oh, well, Van Damme is white, and, like, I was, like, and he was, like, okay. And I was, like, same. I was, like, all right, lady, like, what's your point?
I mean, I haven't seen the movie that they're talking about, but it's not, like, a white savior thing, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think the Wachowskis would, one, get away with doing that, and I don't think they would go that direction. So, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just that the being... character happens to be white,
right.
I believe, but I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to that with any knowledge.
Yeah. So okay, back to Will, I guess. So I guess Riley's doing a really good job of, like, making Will think that they're still in Iceland, right? Because
yeah,
she's doing this whole thing where it's like she's, like, playing, like, seagull noises and
yeah.
feeding him local, quote unquote, local, like, yogurt or something.
I was so impressed with that, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think I was complaining during the Christmas episode that Riley really doesn't have anything to do except to be Will's keeper, you know?
Right.
But she's actually, like, doing something right
yeah,
now. The
yeah.
way that she was, like, basically throwing Will off of the scent of where they were.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping, kind of. I was kind of hoping that they were going to be someplace completely unexpected when she opened the door. And the fact that they were, like, in Amsterdam, I was just like, yes.
Yes, yeah. I guess what I'm kind of curious about is how did they manage to get from Iceland to Amsterdam and without Will, like, she drugged him and she just dragged him on a boat or a plane or something? Like,
I don't know.
How?
I don't know. I mean, I gotta think it was boat, because plane would be more difficult, but I honestly
But you still
know.
Have to pass customs and everything, and, like, I can't imagine how she could do that with him being, like, knocked out. So I just don't understand how that happened. I mean, I'm willing to overlook
yeah.
it for the purposes of the show, but, like, I don't understand.
Maybe if she snuck him in, like, a bag or something.
questionable.
The whole situation is questionable.
But it was just to see her reunited with her dad in a non-angsty fashion. Because I feel like every time I see her dad, I feel like something's about to go down. Like, something horrible is going to happen to either her or her dad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really nice to see them, like, connect again. It's cute.
Yeah, and I really like the character of her dad. He's really sweet and really genuine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Riley really needs that, like, stabilizing in her life right now.
Yeah. I want to look
Her life
up...
is insane.
I want to figure out what, who plays the father, because
mm-hmm.
Do you remember his name? Because I never can remember what his name is.
I have no idea. Honest to goodness, none.
Magnus
I mean,
is the old husband, right? So that's not him.
I have to be super honest. When I started watching this episode, I went to, like, take notes and whatever, and I could not remember Hernando's name. And I was like, oh my god. And then I couldn't remember Cafias's name, and I couldn't remember a lot of people's names, because, I don't know, I guess I'm bad with names, and, like, they didn't drop the names immediately, and so I had to look it up, and then I was like, oh, of course.
Wait, I'm gonna Google who Riley Blue's dad is, because I don't remember his name. Let's see.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about?
Who?
The line, labels are the opposite of understanding.
Okay. Okay, I understood what they were going for, like, in the interview, like, being like, oh, like, it shouldn't, his sexuality shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
In terms of his, like, career and his job. It has no bearing on, like, how well he could be an actor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely agree with that, but it was just such a weird, cheesy nonsense line.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and it was like, it tried to pan to, like, people being, like, really, like, inspired. And I was like, what is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Like,
who am I?
So, his name is, and I might be pronouncing this wrong, but it's Gunnar. Probably. Remember we had an episode titled Ludwig and Gunnar? It's because I kept mixing, we were like, where did these names come from? It's because they did say the father's name, but I mixed his name up with, Felix's name.
Nice.
Yeah. Or was it, something or too. Something else? Hey. so yeah, his name is Gunnar? I don't know. Who is he played by? He is played by... I'm not going to even try to pronounce that name because I don't speak Icelandic. Oh, he's actually a musician. For real. Yeah. Who goes by KK. Because that's the abbreviation of his actual name.
Well, that's cute.
So he's...
I guess that makes sense.
He is an Icelandic blues and folk musician who was born in Minnesota. And they later moved... His family later moved to Iceland. That's so random.
That's interesting.
But he's actually a real musician. So I guess it's really not that hard for him to... Yeah.
Because, like, that would be much more difficult just to have somebody...
To fake it.
To, yeah.
Yeah. He just gives off that vibe well. I get the feeling that he's just kind of playing himself, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that.
I don't know if it's true, but that's kind of the feeling I get. Yeah. So, yeah, Riley's doing a really good job of tricking Will into thinking they're still in Iceland, which is good.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Throwing whispers off their scent.
Yeah, the food thing, like, giving food that can't be, like, exported was such a, like, classic nice touch.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with
Riley. Oh, so you're not supposed to export that yogurt stuff?
Well, apparently it's food that you can't get anywhere except Iceland. That's where it says that, like, it's not exported. So it's like there's literally no place that she could have gone except Iceland.
Let's see. Skyr is an Icelandic cultured dairy product. Has a consistency of strain yogurt, but a much milder flavor. Has been a part of Icelandic cuisine for over a thousand years. It's traditionally served cold with milk and a topping of sugar.
Nice.
And now
doesn't
I'm
sound like my thing, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And I do want to talk more about Will, but I want to get into that later. So
yeah, sure.
Any other things you want to note about Riley or?
Well, we were on Leto for a little while.
Oh, right.
There really isn't that much to continue with, honestly. I guess one of the reasons that the interview scene, I think, probably sticks out to you, and the reason it sticks out to me, is that the title comes from that scene.
Oh, yeah, Who Am I?
Yeah, Who Am I?
I don't get how that, like, relates to the overall theme of the episode.
Really. I agree.
And we talked about this, like, generally, I want the title to kind of, I don't know, hint at some, like, larger theme of the episode, but I don't even know if this episode really had a theme. I mean, not really. It kind of turned into the hunt for whispers towards the end, which I liked, but it wasn't really.
I like
that. Well, I guess, okay, never mind. But I can kind of tie it into that, right? Like, who is he, you know? Because they're trying to figure out his identity.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
But, like, who am I?
Yeah, I wasn't really getting that. It didn't seem like anyone was, like, having an existential crisis, you know?
Yeah. And nobody was having, like, revelations either.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they were trying to do that a little bit with the... with Nomi investigating, what was it even? They made up some weird Homo sapiens species, like Sensori or some weird...
I don't remember.
Junk like that.
BS science
nonsense. You know, but they were, like, trying to, like, pretend that there was a, like... that there was a another subspecies of like Homo that was like Homo Sensori or some weird name like that. I really should pull up the episode summary. I thought this was gonna be so easy since I literally just watched it. But
I mean, look, they just made that crap up. You don't have to even look at what the
crap. Oh no, it's definitely fake.
No, I know, like, the fact that there was, like, a telepathic Homo sapien cousin or whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, like,
Wachowskis do this stuff all the time.
I like that they're giving credence to their own, like, world, and that they didn't just, like, pop up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it does read a little silly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, remember how we were talking about, like, the last half of season one, how they just kind of dropped out of nowhere, like, oh, we're not humans, we're different from them, blah, and we were like, okay, let's step back from that. But nope, they're gonna keep going down that path.
They're committed.
They're committed.
You know, that's something they're doing.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
So, yeah, Leto, okay, he has a bad experience at the cinema and at the premiere.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of the seats were empty and people were, like,
and leaving or whatever. Yeah, it was overall kind of, like, a downer. So, I mean, I'm not super interested in how that is resolved or if it's resolved, because it's just, like, okay, it's, like, so pedestrian compared to some of the other storylines. Like, I'm more interested in the whole, like, let's get Whispers storyline, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, there could be, and I think there should be, something very genuine in Leto's plotline, because that's, like, actually...
like, a real thing, a real
world problem, yeah. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of movies and TV struggle with this, that secrets are most interesting when they're still being kept.
Right.
Once the secret's out, it's not quite as interesting to watch.
Right.
And so, like, the direction that they'll take it, I mean, if they take it in the very predictable, like, oh, you know, Leto's having all these struggles, whatever, it might be more realistic, but it's not necessarily good TV, and I don't know if it really fits in with Sense8 that well.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, a really dramatic, like, piece about him finding his true self and his identity and whatever. This is still a sci-fi show.
Yeah. And sorry, I was gonna say this but I forgot that line that the reporter says to Hernando about, like, how she didn't recognize him with clothes on. I was like, ew, that is so gross. Like,
that was really horrible.
It's like, woman, don't you have any professional integrity whatsoever? I mean, because we saw her interviewing Leto before, and it was fine. It's like, oh, how the tables have turned. But yeah, just like, but at the same time, it's like, remember that scene from, it was either the previous episode or the last season where, like, Leto's house gets, like, graffitied, or his apartment gets, like, I found that so much more, and it was intercut with all the other people's, like, it was under intercut with, like, Kala's, like, I guess, Kala being called a virgin, or, you know, Will being called a pig, and etc. Like, that was great. Like, I really liked that. That was more impactful than, like, whatever this weird interview thing that just happened was.
I completely agree.
I want more of that kind of thing. I think
it's more meaningful when it's more subtle. And where, like, you have to put, like, a piece of yourself into it.
Mm.
Like, they take you, you know, 80% of the way there, and you have to put the rest of it in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, kind of draw from your own experiences instead of just being like, here's what you think. And then I go, I don't feel like thinking that right now. Thanks, but bye. And I don't get as invested.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wish we got more of that. And I guess it'd be too much if they did that all the time with every social justice issue, but, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... The interview was such a... It was such a weak part of the episode for me.
Yeah. Though, I wouldn't call it the weakest... Well, I don't know if I'd call it the weakest part. I can't think of a weaker part, but then... I don't think any of the episode was, like, super strong, honestly.
Again, I'm gonna go back and say I thought the ending was strong. Or the strongest part of the episode.
I would agree that it's the strongest part of the episode. I still wouldn't call it strong.
That's fair. That's fair. yeah.
But that's all I have for Leto.
Yep. Caphias, are we basically... I don't know if we have the whole interaction with the journalist. But yeah. I wasn't even really getting, like, any kind of, like, romantic vibe. It's just, like, this woman was like, I want to know more about you, and blah. And it was like, okay. Like, I don't know.
I mean... I wouldn't say that I got romantic vibes, but whenever they have a man of a certain age and a woman of a certain age interacting in a way that's slightly argumentative, somehow that always becomes a relationship.
oh, God.
I've just been trained. It's movies and TV, man. That's what happens.
I wasn't feeling any chemistry. Like, it just didn't seem like Caphias was very interested, you know?
I don't know where Caphias' sexuality lies, but...
Yeah, he just seems to be stuck as, like... And I don't mean this, like, man-child, like, you know, like, a bad way, but, like...
Yeah.
Kind of like he's, like, an innocent creature-ish. I mean, he did see someone get their hands chopped off, so I guess not.
That's
true.
You've seen more than us.
But, yeah, I don't know. It just... He seems to be, like... super disinterested in romance, or at least not invested in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're trying to play off the whole friend being like, oh yeah, hell yeah, he wants to go on a date with you. And I was just like, I was just seeing this cafe, and I was like, really? Really, bruh? Like, what is this?
I mean, if the two of them have, like, the relationship develop furthering, I don't mind it.
It's not like... Oh, I'm so super against him having any romantic, you know, any love interest, but what is that noise?
Somebody is doing construction on our neighbor's house.
Oh, dear. This is going to be fun. All right, let's keep going.
let's hope it just stops.
Yeah.
So, Zakare, I believe her name is.
I'm going to look her up, too. Are you still there, Melissa?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. Your image cut out and then it came back.
Yeah.
Good old construction. Zakare is her name? I wish they updated the wiki, because...
Wiki, wow.
Because it's just... Maybe if I go to the episode cast list instead of the season... Or show cast list. Let's see. 23 episodes so far.
I did like who that. Am I? Like, their conversation on their, you know, quote-unquote date. I liked their conversation about
whether, that's a deep, like, talk for a date, man.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, whether progress is, you know, significant and whether the details matter and... you know, how wrong the world still is. And, I mean, that's, like, I feel like that's a very me conversation. Personally, like,
I don't think it's, like, really great first date conversation, but what would I know?
I know. No. I mean, I like getting into the, you know, the deep stuff. Quick, so maybe I'll really like Zakare.
So I think it's, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled on Internet Movie Database, her character's name is spelled, it looks like more like Zakia, but it's Z-A-K-I-A, so I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but her the actress is from Kenya, and she was she's mainly known for a role in the soap opera called Molly.
That's cool.
Oh my god, you gotta see this poster for the soap opera, man. It's so good.
Put it in the show notes.
I don't know if you got it. If I sent it to you, hold on.
I'll look at it later.
Okay, I'll just keep it in a separate tab for now.
But I mean, honestly, that's really all I have about Caffius. Caffius didn't have a lot either in this episode.
Yeah, I don't know, the interview thing just felt very like forced to me. It just wasn't working. Okay, we get we got like a very quick scene with Sun in the prison doing the mural. And what they were kind of talking about, what they would do when they got out or something.
It was such a weird scene.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why we went to her. It would have been better if we just didn't get any of her scene at all, I think.
I completely agree, because honestly, like, I didn't take any notes on that scene because there was nothing significant that happened. Like,
it just didn't tie in thematically, you know? It didn't tie in thematically to anything.
No, it didn't tie in thematically. We didn't learn any new character stuff. It was just a, you know, I don't know.
Just, let's check in with Sun for like 2 seconds, right?
Here's what you missed on Sun. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It happened, but
I don't know if they're trying to set something up with, like, oh, like, the older woman's not gonna, I don't know if they're trying to, like, foreshadow that the older woman's not gonna get out, or she's gonna die, or something, like, I don't know, this is a weird way the camera, like, lingered on her, or, like, her line when she was like, oh, yeah, when you all get out, I was like,
Yeah.
I don't know if they're trying to set something up, but it was just, it either needed to be longer, or need to be cut entirely, it just wasn't working the way it was.
I agree.
With Wolfgang, somehow, like, they're not still on the lam because he killed everyone, right?
Yep.
So now
he's
it's
like a big bad now.
Right, there's this weird thing where it's like they kind of have the respect of all the other, I guess, leaders of different gangs, but he's also kind of just sitting on his butt not doing anything because he doesn't want to get involved. So what, they're like trying to butter him up by giving Felix a club? Like, I don't really get what's happening. Is it all some kind of setup or something? That's what I always feel like with these gangster genres, or like you're just giving him a club, but this somehow this can't end well. So
yeah, it kind of felt like the person who owned the club was like, you know, kind of not paying him off, but just like trying to curry favor with Wolfgang.
Right. I got that. But somehow it always feels like a little bit sinister.
No, it definitely sinister, was. You know? And it's weird because, like, you know, Felix doesn't... I don't think Felix knows exactly
what he's doing. For. Like, ever? Yeah.
That's true. That's why I think he and Wolfgang, like, get along so well.
Right.
But at the same time, I still worry for Felix.
I'm like, you got shot in the chest. Somehow you seem to be more or less fully recovered. And
I mean, if I were him, I'd want to just, like, lay low for the rest of my entire existence.
Well, that's not Felix, you know?
I know. It's not him. That's not Felix. We have very different personality types.
I don't think there's really anything else from Wolfgang, right? I mean, no. There was a scene with his mom at the zoo.
Yeah, so yeah, he visits a tiger who's like pacing in his cage.
I love that shot of the tiger pacing around in the cage. It was so good.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
I liked it. It would be. I'm trying to remember what happened directly before it. But I liked how Sun came in, was talking about kind of like, oh, because we get, I know what happens right after. I can't remember what happened right before when we cut to the tiger. I just remember it was a really good transition. I think the person or the character before the tiger shot, it was a good connection, but I just can't remember it. But I know afterwards we get this kind of flashback with his mom, and then we also see Sun and Will. And Sun is talking about how, you know, like, being locked up or being caged is kind of awful. And then, like, Will comes in and talks about, like, oh, is it Caffeus who talks about waiting? Or is it Will who talks about waiting? Whichever.
Well, it was... So Sun was there, and then we have the conversation between Wolfgang and his mother about, like, whether the tiger would run away if, you know, it could get out.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that was a cool kind of metaphor.
Right. And then the mom was talking about how you know, they would, it would, it, like, Sakura would leave for a couple hours and then come back, right?
Yeah, because, you know, where else would it go, basically? Right. And so then Sun's the one who says that cages are hard, and then, and waiting's hard, and then Will is there as well.
Right. And Will's been waiting, apparently, for what seems like months, even though we're going to ignore how the timeline is super messed up. First of all, it was really nice to finally meet Wolfgang's mom.
That's true.
She's beautiful. Ira game on point. And also, I just thought about how the whole tiger going back into the cage thing, it probably is supposed to, like, connect or resonate with, like, the fact that Wolfgang's father is abusive. So correct. I'm assuming it's supposed to be some kind of hint towards, like, she has to go back to him even though it's an abusive relationship.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. I don't know how that didn't hit me until just now, but there you go.
That's okay.
But yeah, I love the shot with the tiger.
Yeah, that was cool.
I'm sure there was some off-screen, like, waving of stakes or something to get it to pace back and forth like that.
Oh, stakes. Not snakes. Like, tigers don't eat snakes.
Title.
Okay.
Okay. So, any more about Wolfgang or Germany?
Nah.
No.
Though, okay. Well, one thing about Wolfgang, though it does tie into Will a little bit, is when Wolfgang actually says to Riley about Will not to give up on him.
Right. Because he wouldn't
give up on any of us.
Right.
And, like, I really liked that. I think that was maybe my favorite line of the episode.
Yeah, it was nice to see Wolfgang be, like, a team player, because it feels like often he's just, like, doing his own thing.
He's very much the lone wolf, but he's... I like that he can, like, recognize that Will is very loyal, and he's, you know, Wolfgang's quite loyal as well. Maybe loyalty is the theme of the episode.
We don't get any we don't get any weird intercuts of Kala and Wolfgang. So, although, I also with Kala's scenes, I do want to talk about that too.
Yeah, but we can go into that now.
So, okay, we covered Wolfgang, Cafius, yeah. Leto, Riley, so, and then Son. So now we have left Kala, Nomi, and Will. So yeah, let's go to Kala. So. She's kind of just showing her new house off to her family?
Basically. While Wolfgang is partying, I believe.
Right. Because they can't deal with their ish. I still can't believe, or I'm really disappointed that Kala married this dude. Like, girl. Girl. Why? But anyway, yeah, she's showing them how luxurious the new house is, and then we finally see the father-in-law for the first time in a while after he was, like, slashed, and like Felix, he seems to have recovered just fine.
I don't get it. I mean, it just it teaches me that Sensei is very unwilling to kill its main cast.
Yeah, and it's like, I at least, like, I don't know, you think they would show some signs of being gravely injured, you know?
Nope.
Like, how is Felix just up and about and partying? Like nothing happened.
Well, we don't know how long it's been, so.
Right. That's so nebulous. Well, also, he spent a good chunk of the half of that season just, like, recovering, right? So it's, like, we really don't know. Yeah.
That's true. But I don't think, like, for a while, I don't know if he even woke up, so. anyway. People survive all of their injuries there. Sense8 land.
So, the father-in-law is talking about he has this powerful government position now.
Yep. Position with the prime minister. I don't know exactly what it was, but essentially, super-duper fancy-schmancy.
And the son was super pissed off Rajan was super pissed because he's like, you know, I thought we were supposed to talk about these decisions as a family before you kind of went through and did anything. And then he's like, nope, I didn't get to where I am in life by doing that, so I'm not going to start doing that now. And, like,
Rajan's that was kind of funny.
And then Rajan's like, Mom, what do you think of this? And like, it's like, she's like, your mother always agrees with me. And she's like, uncomfortable smile, sure.
It was a weird scene because I don't feel like any of that had been foreshadowed.
No, we never got a scene where it was like, moving forward, we're going to make decisions together as a family. It was like the show don't tell thing. They told but didn't show.
Yeah.
So it's like, when did this happen? When did this agreement take place? And, you know, Kala's unsettled by it, but she's always unsettled by everything to do with this marriage. So it's like, girl, you just keep digging yourself into a deeper and deeper hole. Like,
yep, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
the father-in-law lays this line: support is key to making marriage last, or something like that.
Right.
I'm like, okay, we get it. You don't have to, like, we get it.
Like, no duh. And also, like, your wife just kind of goes along with whatever you say, so I wouldn't really call that support, but okay, dude. Okay.
I would just call it not blind devotion, just like...
It's not blind devotion, because she clearly... I think she just, yeah, she just, like, deals with it.
She's like, she's fine, not, like, this... I don't feel like arguing.
And then so, any other... Kyle is also kind of instrumental in helping...
Will
recover, or yeah, at least, like, figuring out what's going on with him, like, medically.
Yeah. So, oh, I did like that we saw Kala at her job. That was when that scene took place.
Yeah. I wish she got more of that last season.
I wasn't even sure that she was still working there, honestly.
I wish we had more of that. Yeah. More of Kala as a competent young woman.
Yep. But yeah, she's working.
So yeah, Kala's working.
And Riley is saying that Will isn't eating. And so the friend that Kala's with thinks that it's her husband who's not eating, Rajan.
Because she's talking to herself, right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just a mess.
but it's nice to see Kala do things, you know, because she's not...
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not like she's, like, son and has, like, these, like, fighting skills, so she has the science skills, so that's
she's
always
the science
helpful.
Lady.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast episode about Sense8 Season 1 the other day, so I'm... A lot of what they're saying kind of is, like, kind of bouncing around in my head. But it's, like, they were talking about how, like, with Kyle, it's, like, you don't want to marry him. Both your father and father-in-law were, like, you shouldn't or you don't have to marry him. And even Rajan was, like, you don't have to marry me. But she still did it anyway.
That's a determined woman.
It's, like, she's so indecisive, but she makes... The choice that everyone, including herself, is telling her not to do. It's like, okay.
I mean, she made this choice that she should make. And, you know, she was driven to it by Wolfgang's actions, I think. His dangerous life. And
right. Because she's like, well, I can't be with you if you're like a...
Yeah. And, I mean, look at her nice house. I mean, she has a swimming pool.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just, like, I keep thinking about that awkward honeymoon scene from, like, the last episode, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, so awkward.
I want to see more of, like, Kala's relationship with Rajan, and I know that, like, in the end, it's not going to work out. I know that, because TV, but I kind of would like it to.
I don't know, like, if I wanted to work it out.
I don't know how I feel about Rajan, but, like, I want Kala to be happy. Whoever
like
that
she,
ends up being.
She
with.
Makes weird or poor choices. Like, I just don't know.
In the end, she still kind of made the choices to make the people around her happy.
But, like, think about yourself, girl. Like, I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah.
Any more about Kala?
Nope.
All right.
Nomi?
Yes, let's move on to Nomi. So, she is trying to also figure out who Whispers is. So we see her doing some investigating. She's, like, pretending that she's, like, writing a thesis on human evolution to get some more dirt on the whole Sense8 mystery. So she talks to...
An anthropologist
as
who doesn't really believe in it.
I don't even know, like, sometimes the writing is just so odd to me, because I'm like, they're not writing in a way that makes sense. Like, what the that, stuff that the comes out of... talk. Yeah, like, that, plus it's like... Yeah, like, the way the anthropologist was talking just didn't gel for me, because first she was like, oh, yeah, you know, you wasted all your time on that book. But then later she's like, oh, but you never know. Like, we used to... Like, I'm like, that's not how someone who thinks that would talk.
No. You know? Like, no, she seemed to have two completely different opinions.
Right, and that's where I was... That's where it came in, where I was thinking, so this is just the writer just using her as a voice piece instead of her being an actual character.
Yeah, because, like, is she either open to new ideas or maybe thinks that they're possibly true, or does she completely think it's not true?
Because it was two very, extreme different... Like, she was like...
Yeah.
Like, I feel sorry that you wasted your time on this book to, yeah. Like, oh, but maybe he could be right. Like, girl.
Yeah, maybe you we'll just, think he's a genius one day.
You just threw so much shade at him about being, yeah. Like, you wasted all your time reading that book. Like... And now you're telling me, oh, but maybe, you know, just maybe he might be right. Like, that's not how
people talk.
Yeah, because that's how a person who writes a TV show with multiple viewpoints would talk, or right, not how a character would talk. You know, I'm glad I wasn't the only. I'm glad that you also picked up on that, because that was
super I definitely did. Weird. It was weird.
And then we're probably never going to see her again.
Probably, so it doesn't really matter.
And then we get the guy who wrote that quote-unquote controversial book. I don't know if they said it was controversial, but... and then his...
Funky book.
His speech was weird, too. I mean, not... It was I guess more consistent from a character standpoint, but I was like, really, Wachowskis, we're going to go this route, like, oh, humans are killers and awful and blah, like... Really? We're gonna go there?
Yep. We
went there.
We could totally see that coming from what they were doing.
I know, but I was still disappointed.
Humans are bad.
I was still disappointed, though, because I'm like, come on, guys. Like, and also, I don't know, I took an intro to anthropology class a couple years ago. I'm pretty sure Homo sapiens, like, intermixed or, like, bred with, like, Neanderthals or something. There's, like, a bit of, like, Neanderthal DNA in certain populations. I don't know about all of us, but in some populations. So it's, like, and you're going to tell me that we killed them all? Like, it was a war. Like, I know they're trying to do that.
It was a genocide.
A genocide. Yeah, they're trying to tie it in with the whole, like, oh, like, you know, we're hunting down the sensori or the sensates or whatever the heck they're called. But, like, really now? Really?
It was just another piece of the episode that was just, like,
anytime we start getting into this whole genetic anthropology evolution territory in this show, I just like start rolling my eyes and I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. I have to let it go, but it's it's too much. So yeah, they're doing some investigating.
And they asked the professor about Dr. Matheson.
Right. Who and it was like, oh, maybe Whispers. Who was Whispers? Right, but it was like, I don't, like, and they were like, oh, like, maybe he was lying to us. I did like their little tie-in to talking about how, like, oh, like, maybe Homo sapiens have an advantage because they can actually lie.
Yeah, that
which
was
I found that an interesting little point, yeah.
But it's still kind of confusing because the way that, like, both the professor and the anthropologist was talking was as though, like, these... you know, older, homo, whatever they're called, they could, like, communicate telepathically, period. Not in clusters, but communicate telepathically. Like, that they can't lie to each other. But in this
You wouldn't be able to lie if you share a life experience the way, like, the sensates do, right?
Right, so if you're in a cluster with someone, yeah, you can't lie to them, obviously.
I mean, they can lie to themselves. I mean, think about Kala and her whole relationship with, like, Wolfgang, right?
That's true.
But
in general, unless they were in the same cluster, then, of course, they could be lying. So, were there no such thing as clusters back then?
Right.
I mean, I have no idea. I mean, right. I don't know whether it's a question that the show will ever answer, either.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess no.
I'm gonna guess no. But whenever it comes to the science of the show, I'm gonna guess I honestly don't want it to.
Yeah. So they do some digging, and the professor's not helping them out. So, I know this is kind of more interspersed with, like, Will's plotline, but once they get more details, they then go over to the Petrel household.
Yeah, the Petrel house where Sarah Petrel used to live.
Yeah. And they talk to the mother, and that's really... I found that kind of interesting.
That was another scene that I actually did like.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we learn more about Will's backstory with this girl, Sarah Petrel, and that the mother actually did believe little Will that she could see, or he could see her.
Right.
Not as, like, a ghost, though, but as, like, a memory. Which is kind of an interesting thing to think about it.
Yeah.
Because you still think of them as ghosts. Like, I'm sorry, but memories die.
Right. And I wonder, like, how do the clusters work thing? Because, like, Will and Sarah are part of Angelica and Jonas's cluster? Or, like, it looks like Will seems to be part of more than one cluster or something. I don't really know how it works.
Yeah, I don't understand. So, Will, I don't know. I guess it's kind of along the same lines. So, like, do other sensates can't communicate with each other, because otherwise whispers would be all up in the original cluster's, like, business. So,
right.
But there's something about her, Sarah Petrel, that she could connect to these different people. And so, yeah, I assumed that she was in, like, Jonas's original cluster. But then, yeah, why?
But this makes sense, because aren't they all supposed to be the same age?
Well, but...
because they're all born at the same time, right? Or at least that's how...
Yeah, no. The people in the cluster are the same age. But the thing I was wondering about this is, like, maybe the people who are visiting, like Jonas, like, Sarah Petrel would be that age if she hadn't passed.
Oh, right. Is Jonas the same age as Will?
I was just thinking that. I do not know. I feel like no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is... I have no idea. That's
too many unanswered questions. Are people laughing in downstairs in your house? What am I hearing?
Yes. My parents are posting.
So. Okay. We'll keep going through this, because I think we're reaching the end of the episode. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get the Sarah Petrel thing, man. Like, I find it interesting but so confusing.
Yeah, I definitely do find it confusing. Maybe we'll get answers, maybe we won't. But we do see how, like, Whispers got in touch with her, and...
And it was so creepy!
Ugh, yeah. So he was her tutor.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that, like, the mom thinks that he's, like, this really nice guy, like, it's just... That's awful. Just kills me.
Yeah, I mean, and then when he's like, well, he killed your daughter, and Nomi's like, that's not helpful.
Like, yeah. I'm like... I'm glad Nomi didn't say that, because Will totally would have just said it to this woman, and
that would have destroyed her.
Yeah, no, we don't say things like that to people, okay?
Well, I think, like, I think he knows that. I think any cop with any ounce of emotional intelligence when it comes to breaking bad news to families would understand that. So I think he was just saying that because he knew she couldn't hear him, but still.
still.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where really Nomi was.
Nomi wasn't able to see Sarah Petrel, right? That was only a Will thing, right? Okay.
It was just a Will thing.
But
it doesn't really make sense. Let's just not.
That's true.
Doesn't make sense. So, let's just not.
Yeah. I did like how, you know, we get a bit of Bug cameo in here when he's trying to help them hack into...
He smashes the computer. Or whatever.
Fun fact, Melissa, I hope you noticed this, but there's a blue snowball microphone on Bug's desk, and both of us record on blue snowballs. So
I did not notice that.
Really, girl? You have the snowball right in front of you at this very moment, right now.
Okay,
you
didn't notice that was on.
That was on his desk, and it was still on the desk later when Nomi was hacking into.
I'll have to rewatch the scene, okay?
But I highly doubt that any of you were interested in what kind of microphones we use. But if you were, we use a kind of snowball that Bug uses, and apparently Nomi used. in conjunction with their laptops. I was like, what is this set dressing? Why would they need a microphone? But it's good to know that Bug is also a cheap is also a cheap technology person when it comes to like stuff like mics. No like Sennheiser Rode mics or whatever. None of that film crew stuff. It's just
buy it's like you're speaking mic. A different language.
Anyway, I was just like a fun thing that I noticed that they put a snowball microphone on the desk. And it's I thought it was way over the top that he had to smash the computer. Yeah. You would have think that he would just be able to like unplug it or something.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. But
yeah, you would think.
But what makes for good TV is not always reality, as we have talked about.
I feel like that's very true in almost everything that we watch.
Wait, you froze. Say that again?
I feel like that's almost entirely true in pretty much everything that we watch.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I mean, and I guess that's true for a lot of shows, though, because TV is, you know, obviously very visual, and it has to be dramatic and whatever, but... Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do exchange reality for the dramatique.
You know, in this episode, no explosions, no nakedness, not even any half nakedness, and no sex scenes. I think this is why this doesn't feel like a very Sense8 episode.
Were there any like real fight scenes either?
No.
Yeah.
I think we cracked the code.
That's kind of why it kind of, in a lot of ways it felt like an answer to the first episode, because that had a lot of sex, a lot of
fight. No, I take it back. There was a shirtless scene in this episode with Leo's character, because he's not.
No, yeah,
he's only half dressed in when we first see him. In this episode.
Yeah, but I don't really count that.
Yeah.
No, but that's why it felt like an answer,
right?
Because it really. If you watched it in conjunction with the first episode, you wouldn't really find yourself missing it because you'd already just had it.
Right, right.
But in this case, we didn't just have it because we watched it months ago.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I take it even back even more. There is nakedness in this episode because we get Nomi naked and Amani naked in some weird, like, flashback or montage type deal.
There is kind of a montage where we get a split second of nakedness from someone.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it is. It didn't really strike.
But again, it just didn't feel very like Sense8 because it's missing those like normal hallmarks. I feel. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, anthropologist talk to the professor, do some more hacking, and more digging, and then they end up in Chicago, and you know, they're connecting with Sarah Patrol's mother, and I think that's it for Nomi. I guess.
Yeah, that's it for Nomi. All we have left is Will.
Okay, so I found his stuff super compelling this episode. Mm-hmm. So he's the one who opens with that kind of nightmare dream thing going on with Whispers, which is so over the top and creepy with that guy just slicing that dude's throat open.
I'm confused about that scene, though. Like, was it a memory of Whispers? Did it happen recently? Or did it happen, like... a long time ago?
I'm assuming that it's supposed to be happening in the present.
Yeah.
And I think that I was under the impression that he was trying to show that he could control this guy's movements or something.
No, I agree.
But I don't know, was the whole slicing thing planned? And was Whispers in control?
At first, I thought no, but then as the scene continued, I thought yes. But then it kind of goes against what Whispers said. Because he told, I think, this woman that the whole
point... He told Angelica, yeah.
Angelica was the woman?
Yeah, because remember we get the whole flashback... Again, we're kind of going out of order, but...
Yeah.
When Angelica is like saying sorry to Will, we get like a little flashback of her being like, "Oh, so, you know."
Yeah, the timeline is just really.
She's
funky.
Talking to Whispers, and then Whispers is like, "Oh, we just want to show that, you know, we don't want like, do you trust me?" And like, we want to show them that like that. I guess like he was trying to imply that like they want to show that Sense8 can be controlled and not a danger to society, and he wants to prove that or something. If that makes sense, that's what I gleaned from that.
That's what I got from it. But I just, the timeline of that conversation.
You keep cutting out, so it's kind of hard for me to hear what you're saying.
So basically.
Oh, you're back now. Okay.
Basically, the timeline of that conversation with the experiment itself was just kind of confusing to me. Like, how far apart were they?
Right.
If it, I mean, I guess it could have been modern, but.
I thought it was modern because, the, you know, that ending scene where Whispers is talking to that guy in London, it seemed like my brain was thinking the logical conclusion would be that he's working or head of the organization that, you know, had all those tuxedoed men, like, doing the experiment.
So I'm still also confused why did Whispers kill that guy?
Right, because you think that there would be other ways to, I don't know, show that you can control someone's mind, other than, like, just randomly sawing at a guy's throat, like, what?
It was pretty creepy the way they did it. It was like he was playing, like, the cello or something.
Ugh.
It was gross. But, yeah, it was kind of weird.
Oh, but I see what you mean, too, right? Because we already know that he can control people because of the whole, what's the character's name? You know, the guy who was catatonic? The guy who was catatonic in
season one,
and he went after the doctor. He went after Metzger and also tried to kill Nomi and Amanita, right?
Yeah,
with that body, he was under Whisper's control.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it was an earlier thing because you would think that.
I have literally no idea.
I don't know. This show, man, this freaking show. But I do like that we learned so much more about Whispers in this episode.
Yeah.
So there's that scene.
I think that's really important to learn more about him because he's been such a mystery so far. And the show's been pretty good about revealing information, like not holding too many cards at one time. Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, just kind of tease things for a while, but eventually you'll get your answers, which I appreciate.
Right.
So I'm hoping we're just going to get a lot of the answers that we're talking about, but you never know.
Yeah.
Never know. But yeah, we get Will dreaming about, like, the horse.
Oh, yeah. And I said I loved the way that was shot. It was so good. I heard the name Neville, but I think that was in reference to either one of the horses or one of the riders.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, like, you know, they're still trying to dig for information, right? So I thought, maybe that's his name, but no, it's not. And it's weird. Like, I wonder, like, it seems like Whispers is able to, like, halt these kind of intrusions.
Yeah.
By taking pills, right? That's what we saw.
That's what it seems like he's doing.
So, I feel like with the... I think the pills are a dead giveaway that whatever's happening is in real time because he's aware that he is being watched, right? But
well, when we see him taking the pill in the office, but where else do we see him take it?
Well, he was going to take it like at the horse racing thing, right? Because his wife reminds him. His wife is like, you should be taking the pills, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I guess it is really nebulous. Yeah, it is.
Do we know anything about his wife?
I don't think so. This is the first time we meet her, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's all very strange.
It is all very strange.
I do love Whisper's, like, villain speech, though. He gets a really good one in here in this episode. When he's doing that fake out with Will, where he's like, how do you know where I am? And Will, like, does his little detective thing, and he's like, ha, no, we faked you out.
Yeah. Yeah, he pulls, like, a little Sherlock. And he's like, well, this is this, and this is that. And then he pulls off the light fixture. I was like, psych!
It wasn't the light fixture. It was, like, the electricity plug, right?
Whatever.
The little plate in front. Yeah.
Whatever it was.
He was like...
He calls Will an amateur, so I was like,
But then it's, like, they outfox the fox, and secretly Riley's been doing the same thing. Because, like, which is, like, oh, we can hear seagulls... We know where you are. There aren't this many abandoned, empty buildings in a small place like Iceland, blah, blah, blah. And like, with your yogurt with three sisters at the farm or whatever. Yeah. And it was like, psych!
But the thing, the really wonderful thing about that
scene, Will didn't know, yeah.
Will didn't know, and the audience didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at that point, we have no idea where they are, and the fact that he, like, figures out, quote-unquote, that they're in Iceland, like, we worry, oh, are they in Iceland? Have they been figured out? And then we get the revelation that, no, Riley has played a trick on all of us.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of... It's both good for Will and bad for Will because, great, he doesn't know where they are, but he's kind of suffering emotionally because he thinks that, like, they're going to be found out at any second. Yeah. But, no, it's good. So we get that fake out. And then the last scene, they are able somehow to, I guess, tap into this important business meeting where all these details are being revealed. Right. I still don't really understand how that whole thing works with, like, him sleeping a lot and, like, being able to glean off information. Like, I don't quite get it. Because, yeah, it's like what people were saying. Like, it's harder than he anticipated to, like, keep everything in check, right? And keep all these weird little details of his life secret. But, yeah, I don't know. They got lucky. And somehow they all knew this was it and this was the time.
Yeah, they were like, it's time.
To spring into action. People. Let's do this and, like, pump Will full of more drugs so he can, like, get all these details. Yep. But, yeah, it worked really well. I didn't understand how Will knew what the buildings in London looked like. Unless he was drawing from, like, Riley's memories of London. I didn't really understand how he was like, oh, I know these buildings.
Oh, I mean, it could just be, like, from TV or something. Like, I feel like if I saw buildings in London, I might know it's in London. But I've never been.
I guess. I don't know. It seemed kind of weak to me. But, yeah, they're all... It's kind of great because you could just see Whispers somehow is seeing everyone in their pajamas and stuff. Just, like, around the office. Like, looking at different details. Do you not know what I'm talking about?
No, I do know what you're talking about. But can I guess they can... Like, how can...
Or was he not seeing them?
I don't know. Because, like, in the scene, it seemed to imply that he was seeing them. But how could he be seeing them? Okay, well, then maybe Will can... He can see everything that Will sees. So, but... my brain hurts.
Yeah, no, it's too much. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that's just for the audience's sake. But
I don't know.
This show is so confusing. But anyway, but yeah. it was a good like juxtaposition seeing like Nomi and like just like shorts and a t-shirt wandering around an office. So they're able to glean information about that setting and like it was so nice to see Whispers panicking. Like I needed that.
Because he was so,
like,
before.
Cool and collected and, like, I'm always one step ahead of you. And it's like, nope, psych, we got you, man. And so it was really nice to see him panic and be like, I'm compromised. It was, like, so good. And like,
I love how that guy is just, like, super chill and he has just no idea what's going on.
He's like, stop making all these excuses about emergencies and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, like, legit for Whispers, but, like, the higher-ups are done with it. They're like, we're over it.
Yep. But yeah, they figure out who that guy is, and so maybe that's the string that'll pull everything apart, though I gotta think that the revenge of Whispers is coming next episode, but you know, the episode ends with them saying, like, we're coming for you, you know? So, they're on the offensive for the first time in a long time.
Sensei Ever? Whispers.
Maybe.
Yeah, wait, I wanna just look up what is his... Do they have his actual name listed yet? Dr. Matheson, where the heck is his... I don't think anyone updated the wiki page. It's just all season one stuff. Did you write down his name? Because I didn't.
Nope. The guy?
Whisper's actual name.
Oh, just Matheson. Matheson.
No, but that's still... Isn't that still an alias?
I don't know who he's giving aliases to and who he's, like, telling his real name to.
No one updated any of the Wikipedia pages. Well,
maybe we have to.
I don't want to do that.
I really won't.
Anyway, we finally found out his name. And, you know, now they're hunting the hunter. So that's going to be exciting.
Oh, wait, do you mean Richard Wilson Coomer?
Right, isn't that his name?
No, that's the guy's, that's, like, the executive's name.
Oh. I thought they finally figured out Whisper's actual name.
No, that's the executive's name, because they use, like, his company, and, like, that he went to Yale, and, like,
right.
That stuff.
Yeah.
But
who the heck still wears their class ring?
I know, right?
Who does that?
But I guess if you went to Yale... You want everyone to know you went to Yale.
He's some dude who went to Yale, but he's from London and has a London accent. Why didn't he go to, like, Oxford or Cambridge?
Maybe
or
he couldn't get in, you know? Maybe he had to buy his way into Yale. I don't know his life. I don't know his story. And I don't know if he's important.
True that.
But he's some executive that, you know...
Well, he's important in getting to Whispers, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, maybe the people... Well, you know, he's someone that Whisper seems to be working for, and so that's even going a step above Whispers and finding the organization that he's kind of working in conjunction with.
Yep.
But, yeah. That's really all I got.
And that's it, really. I mean, again, I thought the ending was the strongest part, but other than that, it was just... The episode just kind of happened. I feel like we've been getting a lot of those TV episodes recently. They just happened...
Yeah.
And there's not... I feel like there's not too much to talk about with this. I mean...
Yeah, it was... I was kind of taking notes as I was watching the episode, and it was... I kept taking the notes because I know I'll forget otherwise, but there weren't anything like that... I didn't really have that many... There wasn't anything there, really.
To dig into.
Yeah. It was okay, and I didn't, like, dislike the episode exactly, but I didn't necessarily really like it either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say I liked it, period. I would say it
happened. Like all the crazy dramatic stuff, the most crazy and dramatic stuff happened in season one, and it feels like there's like a bit of a lull before the craziness starts up again.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
But like, I really did like the Christmas episode. So maybe it feels like that they put a lot of their crazy and like heartfelt stuff in there, and so this episode is just kind of like, it was like the repercussions, kind of like the answer to that first episode.
Yeah, so hopefully things start picking up again in the next episode.
I hope so.
And that is what we're going to cover next week. Yeah, so again, we really appreciate any likes or follows or retweets or whatever on social media. If you could rate us on iTunes, leave reviews so we can get more well-known as a podcast, that would be awesome. And I also think I heard that Sense8 was renewed for a third season.
I feel like I may have heard that too.
Yeah,
but I don't know where.
Let me pull up from my sources, I think. Let's see. Sense8. Let's see. Yep, on March, Netflix unofficially renews Sense8 for a third season. Renewed the contracts of the core 8 actors, blah blah blah.
So that's a good sign.
Yep, and I think the soundtrack is also available.
Oh, that's interesting. For
Sense8. I heard more new music in this episode, so that was kind of a nice touch. So yeah, there is a, you can get the soundtrack to Sense8.
Yeah, we should put a link to it.
Listen to nice dramatic music. It's on Tidal. So it's on iTunes, okay, Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, Tidal, Napster. God, I haven't heard that in a long time.
It's been 84 years. Amazon Music.
Deezer. I've never even heard of Deezer.
What I don't know, man. They're cooler than we are, and also less.
Anyway, cool. Yeah, we didn't. There wasn't too much to talk about in terms of like show links this episode either, was there?
No, because it just kind of happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could link to the podcast episode I was talking about, but
whatever, man.
Anyway, whatever, man.
Next week's episode will be the next episode of Sense8. Which is episode 3 of season 2, and the title.
We will see you.
Let me see if I can pull up the title quickly.
Obligate Mutualisms? Oh, that sounds like a fun title.
Ooh.
Obligate Mutualisms. That sounds like... What is... Like, what kind of title is that?
Well, we'll leave you with that.
Oh, we'll figure it. We'll find out soon enough, I'm sure. Okay. So, thanks for listening again. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.